What's happening, y'all? This is Todd Wilson with another episode of Elevate Your Game. Today, we have Father, a former collegiate player, the head coach of your team, Why Not, EYBL 16U, also the head trainer of Team Why Not, EYBL, Elite 100 coach, and now he's the associate head coach at Westchester High School, Mr. Roy Walker Jr.
How you doing, brother?
Man, I'm blessed, man.
Appreciate you having me.
No, thanks for coming to the Hot Valley, brother. I know, you know, you don't want to cross that bridge, but
man,
appreciate
crazy
you.
Traffic, too.
Absolutely. First question is, your favorite hoop movie of all time and why?
He Got Game, for sure. He Got Game. And, of course, Brother Run with a close second, but He Got Game for sure, just because it resonates with, I think, kind of resonates with my story or what I wanted my life to be like, of course, coming out of, the inner city, you know, trying to put on for your family and take care of your family and making sure that you keep your authenticity and not sell out, too. So I think that's why it's my favorite movie.
100%. You giving your daddy buckets like he did?
Man, the crazy thing, that Jake Shuttleworth was my dad. Like, that's my story. So, you know, definitely my dad can't guard me for sure. He'll tell you that for sure.
Dope. So when did you fall in love with basketball?
I fell in love with basketball 8 years old. 8 years old. Always played basketball because I had an older brother, but fell in love with basketball 8 years old. My first time at Rosecrans Recreational Park in Gardena. You know, I was one of the taller kids, and you know, I used to be a dominant shot blocker then at that point, but yeah, that's when I fell in love with it.
8 years old, and then when did you start taking the game seriously? When did it become a real thing for you?
My story's a little different, so I kind of started taking basketball serious maybe like my sophomore year in high school. You know, I always played, definitely played high school basketball, varsity basketball, but where I locked in and focused when I started understanding I was good at it and I was talented. And, you know, just so happened I ran into a guy named Reggie Morris Jr. who kind of took a liking to me one day. And, you know, it was kind of the history after that when I started taking it serious.
Gotcha. What was going on before you took it serious?
A lot of mischief. I was a mischievous little dude. From like 12 to like 16, I was super mischievous and, you know, doing things I shouldn't be doing. But, you know, I guess God always, you know, puts you in the right place at the right time and puts you through certain journeys where, you know, you learn where you need to be and what you need to be doing. So,
yeah. Would you say basketball saved you?
It for sure saved my life. Like, totally 110%. You know, I'm just so lucky to be in love with basketball and love that basketball picked me. Because I've seen so many of my cousins, friends that I was in the same circle with, doing the same thing with, and their lives took a total left and mine took a right. So it, like, you know, it definitely saved my life for sure.
For kids who are in that situation now, you know, going through, you know, being mischievous and being caught up in their environment, what would you tell them, you know, what's the best advice that you could give them?
It's not worth it. Instant gratification. I tell my son that all the time. You know, the instant gratification ain't worth the long-term, you know, responsibility or long-term, you know, things that comes with those decisions. You know, definitely being in the streets, I definitely had people tell me, like, it's consequences that come with this. And, you know, I had to kind of figure those things out and understand that the consequences didn't meet what I wanted for the rest of my life. So, you know, it just kind of told me to, like, you know, take a turn, you know.
Gotcha. And you said meeting Coach Reggie was what made that turn. What was it about that situation that changed everything?
Man, he's a, like, dude is, me and him are total opposites. So, like, you know, he's super quiet, real introverted. And me, like, you know, I'm slightly introverted, but, you know, he just, you know, I call him my dad at the end of the day. He's like my dad, so it's big. I get a little emotional when I talk about him. So it's actually his birthday, by the way. Shout out to Coach.
That's why he ain't answering the phone.
Yeah,
his man.
No, he at work. You know him, he at work. But it was just big on, you know, him just taking a liking to me. You know what I'm saying? Him understanding, like, that, you know, he could save a kid. And he was a kid still. You know, he coached me at 26 years old. Yeah, so it was a lot different. I think he was 26 or 27, but he was still fresh out of college, figuring out his own life. You know, for him to take a chance on a 15-year-old kid, like, you know, I can't do nothing but appreciate him and show him my utmost loyalty for the rest of my life. So,
100%. Yeah. And you said earlier your dad was like, this man here. And so was he the one like developing into basketball before Reggie? Was that the experience?
No. So my dad, I lost my dad to penitentiary at 4 years old.
Oh, wow.
Right. So my grandfather did a lot. Like my grandfather, I live with my grandmother and grandfather in Inglewood. So like my mom was there, but you know, just, you know, she's young and you know, like my grandma and grandfather's like, you know what? We got them. So, you know, I get it.
It's all good, man. And you know, the purpose of this show is to give kids hope. Because there's somebody who's been in your situation, and look where you are now. Like one of the top coaches for EYBL program, respected coach, and an amazing father. Like, man, I've seen you around your kids.
Appreciate
you. Don't play. No, I love it.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
I'm sending my kid to you when they turn 10, dog. Like they getting all that. And so.
I'm a lot different with my girls. Like, my son gets it. My son just was talking about the other day, like, you don't treat me like the girls. I'm like, man, they girls. But I love you. I can't say I love you the most. But, you know, he's my boy. So definitely.
No, absolutely. And so that's probably what impacted your life to make some decisions that you did.
For sure.
And then finding that father figure and Coach Reggie helped you, you know, kind of mend that fence.
Yeah, right? And it's crazy because, you know, I'll be the one to get kicked out of practice. Like, to be honest with you. But I got to ride home with the dude. I'm like, I'm walking home. He's like, no, you're not. Like, your grandma not letting you walk home. You going, like, you get in this damn car with me. Like, I'm like, ugh. So getting cussed out by him in the car and at practice, you know what I'm saying? I think it kind of sculpted my life for the better and the greater good. So
absolutely. And then now you're playing basketball, you're on the varsity team, you figured out that you're good at it. What happened that made you realize that, and where did you take your game to?
Just being around men, like also, you know, Chris Young, you know, shout out to him. He was one of my high school coaches as well. Just being around men with like-mindedness. Amongst themselves, understanding that they want to help young men and, you know, just not letting up. Like, as much as I fought back and I'm not doing it, and, you know, they just, it was tedious. Like, I'm responsible for probably Reggie being a little bald right now, and I'm probably responsible for Chris Gray. So, like, I think that was just a big thing for me. Also, like, it was a village, very much a village.
Still is.
Yeah, still is. And I'm happy to kind of be a pillar now of those villages to, you know, to touch on kids and love kids and tell them that it's okay. You know, even though the complexity of basketball is a little bit different than when I was.
Right.
You know, like my guardian told Reggie, like, it's your job. Like, this is your job.
Yes,
we're not telling you how to coach my son. It was like, whatever you do is whatever you do.
Yeah.
So,
100%. And then, so basketball size. So, what made you realize you were good? What was good about your game?
I started dunking early. Like, I was a freak athlete. That some people would tell you I was a freak athlete. I don't look like it. I mean, like I used to. But you know, being able to run and jump, and you know, I was like, okay, I can figure this out. Like, and then my brother wasn't doing it. Like, so my brother is 4 years older than me. You know, he was 12th grade, and I was in 8th grade, he wasn't dunking yet. And I was dunking, so I was like, okay.
Oh, that's crazy.
Crazy. Like,
you started dunking in 8th grade?
I was dunking in 8th grade. So that's kind of things that kind of told me, like, okay, I got a chance, I got a shot, you know what I'm saying? Even though I still was teetering back and forth, but it was kind of like, okay, I could try to do this. I can do this, actually.
Dope. And then you were at Lou Zinger for high school?
I started off at the great Crenshaw High School with playing for Willie West. You know, just the environment didn't coincide with what my grandmother wanted for me. So, you know, now we made the move and ended up at Lou Zinger with Reggie, and it was all she wrote.
Dope. And then what years were you guys winning during this time? What was what was y'all situation? How good was y'all?
We about to dwell into some deep stuff. My junior, we were really, really good. Really, really good. And, you know, played with Russell Westbrook, you know, one of my dearest friends, closest friends.
You guys the same year?
No, I'm a year older than Russell.
Gotcha,
so, you know, and then my best friend, Kelsey Bars, who we have the same birthday, you know, like, that, like, we were inseparable at, like, at the hip. You know, he, at this time, he's ranked number 20 in the nation. Mm. He had just got done playing with the Long Island Panthers. You know, he had a great summer. We were kind of just, you know, building. Yeah, he was a sophomore. I was a junior. We won 26 games. I think we tied for league, which is a tough league to tie for with Redondo and Peninsula. And we're rolling. So, you know, we're starting to get things going. Another good friend of mine, Darrell, had just got drafted or was on his way to get drafted from South Kent. So we just had a lot of momentum my junior year. And my senior year was kind of derailed because, you know, just the loss of Kelsey. So that was like, that's another.
Yeah. Do you want to dive in at all?
I mean, yeah. I don't mind it. As long as you got some tissue and time. I got time.
And once again, like, you know, that's, it's always tough, right? Yeah. You never know what somebody really feels and what they go through when there's a loss. Right. And how did you, I want to talk about, because it's part of that process. How did you overcome it, right? Because that's, or even if you have, you know what I mean?
Nah, so, I haven't. Yeah. Yeah, that's the tough part. Like, people don't understand that. Like, that was, like, really my brother. Like, like, that's a big thing. Like, that's one of my best friends. Like,
yeah.
And, like, to be there when that happened, to see it happen, like, that you don't really bounce back from that. Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, that was a tough situation for me. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Ty, you got me. People don't see the side of me, Ty. So you lucky I like you.
Appreciate you, man. And this is what this space is for, because there's healing to be had.
Right.
And there's people who need to hear the journey, man. Like, to understand who you are and why you are the way you are.
Yeah,
you know?
People get a false misconception of me. Like, I'm just a guy yelling and screaming. Like, nah, I'm not yelling and screaming because I'm angry. I'm yelling and screaming because I'm passionate. Like, yes. I don't like mediocrity. That's just all. And I think a problem with our youth today is that we let them settle in comfort.
Yes.
Life is not comfort. Your parent, your, you know, coach, your mentor, life ain't comfortable.
Yeah.
And then we tell these young men who only dwell in this one space. I think the thing that makes me different from a lot of basketball players, I dwelled in different spaces. I dealt with the dad that was incarcerated. I dealt with the mom that probably was out doing stuff that she shouldn't be doing. I dwelt in a space where I'm hanging out. So I knew how to adjust. And that's why I can go sit in any room. Like, I can come here and sit with you, and I can go back and sit at the park with a lot of people and, you know, still not feel out of space. We tell these young athletes to go in and say, hey, you're gonna play this sport for these amount of years, and then you're gonna do this, and then we want you to be people. Mm. We've created them to be machines. And then when they make a mistake, we wanna ostracize them. That's not fair. So my biggest thing for, you know, teaching young men, especially young men that look like me, like, you have to be multifaceted and understand, like, you have to be able to be a person, someone relatable. And I think I'm relatable. Like, I don't do this for parents. I'm not here to coach parents.
Right.
I'm here to coach young men that are probably one day not going to have their parents. So they need to know how to dwell in that space.
Yeah.
So.
Man. No, that's beautiful, man. I don't think anybody's ever broken it down like that. The overall development of a kid through this journey can be had with basketball.
For sure.
If you allow someone to coach them. If you allow someone else to mentor them. Because, like you said, you grew up with your grandparents. Like, growing up, I was at my grandparents' house every day. That's who watched me, because my parents had to work.
Right.
That part of the village is gone. And like you said, our parents dropped us off. They trusted whatever adult that we were with. Right. And it's hard to trust some adults. But go check them out first. But once you find that trust,
you gotta let them, you know, you gotta let them help.
Yes.
You gotta help. Exactly. I tell my son every day, like, you probably not gonna get the message from me, because I'm delivering it from a place of bias, because you're my son. I want to see you win. but I don't care if you go to Todd and go get the same message that I'm trying to deliver. If you don't get it from me, I don't care. As long as you get the message. Because at the end of the day, my job is to make sure you get to where you need to get to. I told him that all the time. I said, you can deal with me when you get older. You don't have to deal with me. I can look back and say, you know what? I did my job as a dad.
Yep.
That's all I care about.
That's what we're supposed to do. Love it. And so you said your senior year was, you know, you had some tragedy. And what did it make you do?
I think it kind of caused a dissension between my team. Like, you know, it was rocky. You know, you're dealing with 12, 13-year-old little black boys who just lost their best friend in front of their eyes. Like, we're not worried about no basketball. Yeah. I'm not worried about basketball. And I still got, I had my cousins on the team. We still in the streets kind of like. So we worried about basketball. We not really worried about basketball.
Right.
We're not. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm worried about, you know, am I going to be able to see my dad? Like, what's going on? Like,
yeah.
So, like, basketball was kind of like, it was there and it's one, but it's really 1B. Hmm. And, you know how that goes. If you don't give your all to it, if you play with it, it ain't going to do right by you. So, yeah. You know.
What was 1A?
I think 1A was just trying to escape the stressors of life. Like, that's 1A. Like, man, I'm not trying to deal with this. Like, yeah. I'm not trying to deal. I just lost my best friend. Like, my mom be tripping. Like, school.
Right.
Girls. Mm-hmm. I got a car. You know, like, I want to look fly. Like, that's a big thing. So, I think that's one thing that kind of derailed me or derailed our season, because we were all kind of really on that same thing. Coach can attest to you, like, it was hard.
Yeah.
That year was hard for him. It was super hard, like, yeah. You know, and it was hard for all of us, so.
Yeah. What is, what's the advice to that Roy at that moment?
Lock in, stupid. lock in, stupid. You know, just to that Roy, like, be patient.
Mm.
Be patient. And that's the same thing I preach to my kid, be patient. You have to be patient with yourself. That's why I teach my players. Like, I'm going to yell at you. I'm not going to not yell at you. Like, this is what I do. So, at anything, you can't get on yourself more than anybody. You have to be patient with yourself. Mm. You can be hard on yourself, but you have to be patient with yourself nonetheless. And I think all that's right. A big thing.
Absolutely. So, you said you had an opportunity to play in college, though. So, you get through your senior year, it's rough. And what was your journey like after that?
Journey was like, I was a JUCO product. You know, just, you know how that is, yep. JUCO product. I decided to go to Pierce basketball. I was running from Reggie Morrison. I didn't want to be nowhere near that man. He tried to get me to go to Coppin State, and I'm like, I'm not messing with nothing you're talking about right now. Like, I don't think I talked to coach for like 2 years. Like, I would run from
him. Oh, you was like, oh, you was,
yeah, I'm cool. Like, I'm cool.
Why?
Just because it was hard. He was hard. He was tough. Mm-hmm. And I didn't understand why he was so tough. Like, I graduated high school when I was 17 years old.
Oh,
I was a boy. Like, I wasn't 18. I wasn't 19. Yeah. I was a little boy. So, what he was talking about, I'm not trying to hear what you're talking about, bro. So, I was like, decided to come to Pierce. That didn't work. I was like, man, I happened to go to a open run at Southwest. And that back then, I'm pretty sure you've heard about Southwest back then. Like, Calipari's there. Lute Olson, Ben Holland, like, everybody's there. Like, so, Reggie's dad is the coach there. He like, man, what's going on, Roy? Where you been? I was like, oh, coach, you know, went to Pierce. He's like, yeah, I know. You can come on home. Hmm. You can come on home. And from there, like, I was like, man, I'm coming home.
The valley wasn't for you, huh?
It was just like, I was here by myself. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, I just need to come home. Like, and so it was just like, okay. I moved back with my grandmother and my grandfather. At this time, my grandfather's sick, so, mm-hmm. You know, my grandma needed me. So, I went to Southwest, and I think that molded me. I didn't even play my next year. Like, the year I had to sit out a year.
Right.
So, I had to practice a whole year out playing. And that's when I was like, you know what? You need to, like, really lock in, because it's just now or never. You gonna go left or right? I think my cousin had just went to jail for 10 years. He had just, we're like 18. Like, I'm 19, he's 18. Mm. He just went to jail for 10 years. I'm like, nah, I'm cool. I don't want it. Like, I don't want it. So.
What made you be, like, aware and acknowledge that, man, there's stuff happening around me that I'm involved in, but I don't want the results of that?
I'm a real, like, truthful guy with myself. Like, people, like, you know, no knock on, like, therapy, like, or anything like that. But, like, I'm, like, kind of my own therapist. Like, mm-hmm. if I know things are getting hectic, I'll go to the mirror like, bro, you're tripping. Like, what's up? What are we doing? Mm-hmm. You know, I don't like to feel stagnant. And I felt stagnant. I think I felt real stagnant, and I didn't like it. And I was like, you know what, just, you know, self-awareness. Like, I'm very self-aware of myself. And just, you know, like, I'm self-aware of my perception, people, how people perceive me. You know, necessarily don't care sometimes, but, you know,
yep.
just being self-aware, understand, like, it was time for a change. And I think that was my maturation, was seeing my grandfather sick and my grandma helping my grandfather, and me having to help my grandmother. Like, me having to help bathe my grandfather, like, yeah. me having to take him to dialysis or things like that. So I think that was a big thing for me. Yeah. Like, it was like, bro.
You had to have some responsibility.
Yeah, like, have yeah. responsibility, for sure. Definitely.
Yeah. And so you had to sit out a year at Southwest.
Right.
That next year, played.
That year, I was a monster. Shout out to Coach Butter Owens. Leonard Owens. Like, I worked out with a coach named Leonard Owens, who was one of the assistant coaches at Southwest. I worked on my game all summer, like locked in the gym.
One of those summers. I love
those
summers.
Yeah, it was summers. One of those summers. I was just like I was jumping high, I was strong. Like, my game was just different. And it was just like, okay. I had ultimate confidence in myself. Yeah. It was one of those moments. So
monstrous year?
Monstrous year.
And what did it lead to?
I had several offers. I had offers from Montana State, Montana, UCSB, Pepperdine, Fresno State, Portland State, UCI, Coppin State, again. I had a lot.
You had to pick of a litter.
Pick of a litter, yeah, for sure. You know, just from a. But, you know, due to my first year of school, like, I wasn't able to because I had put myself so behind. So I was like, you know, I had to go to either Division II or NAIA. I was like, that was kind of like, I put all this work in, I did all this, and, like, it wasn't like I wasn't deserving. Like,
right.
I was deserving. First team all player, all league player, first team all state, defensive player of the conference. You know, team captain, you know, things of that nature, like average 14 and like 14.
Damn.
Man, so it's like, it wasn't like I wasn't deserving. And I think kids need to understand that too. Like, sometimes things happen, and like things that you can control and things that you can't control. So, you know, me and Coach Bigmore sat down. I was like, where you want to go? I was like, at this point, my grandfather's passed. My grandma's getting sick. Oh, I was like, I'm gonna just stay home. Like, I'm just like, stay home. I still had aspirations of basketball, but it was like, it's kind of like life is life now at this point. So it was like, you know, I'm gonna go to Masters. They were cool. It was cool. You know, different environment. Very different.
You went to Masters in Santa Clarita Masters?
Yes.
That is way different. Especially when you went to school. Wasn't nothing out there, huh?
Man, that was way different. But, you know, it was cool. It was what it was.
That where you graduated from?
Yes.
Awesome. Yeah. So what was your experience? You got to talk about it. You say it was different.
Oh,
talk to me, man. This is back in the day. It's different now than it was then.
Yeah, it was the Master's College at this point. It was not the Master's University. I was wilding. Where do you want me to start there?
I guess just talk about your maturation process. Being at a school that is in a, you know, more of a white neighborhood.
For sure.
You know, it was a white neighborhood then. It still is now. And that's okay. You coming from an inner city.
Right.
And, you know, probably putting in a position to do your thing, because you're a Division I player playing as an NAIA at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah, playing at an NAIA.
Yeah.
Were you able to perform on the basketball court, one?
Yeah.
And then what kind of off-the-court situations did you get yourself into
that, how'd led you know?
You, that led you to be the man you are today? Because I went to college as well. He's Dow City Community College.
I did. Yeah. How'd you know? So first of all, my first week was crazy on Masters. Like, I had, like, I was playing in, like, a tournament. I twist my ankle. So I'm in practice, like, hobbling around. They wondering, like, why are you hobbling? Like, I'm like, man, I heard, I didn't want to tell them, like.
Oh, you heard it not playing?
Yeah, I almost broke my ankle. Like, I'm in practice, like, my first week, I suck. I'm like, oh my God, like, I can't jump, I can't guard nobody. And I'm like, these are dudes I can guard with my eyes closed. So, like, I tried to tell them, like, coach, man, I hurt my ankle. So, you know, it was cool. And then the basketball wasn't the problem. It was just, like, the environment. And the environment wasn't a bad environment. It was just, like, something on TV, like
Pleasantville.
Yeah, but like I've been places where it was just like, y'all really think like this? Like, y'all really think like this? Like, yeah, all right, cool, whatever. And having tattoos, they used to ask me about my tattoos. Like, what does this mean? Like, I couldn't really tell them like what it meant. Like, oh, I can't tell you. Like, it just means something special to me. Like, something like that. My coach was cool. He was kind of, shout out to Coach Martin, I love you, but like, he didn't curse. So it kind of messed me up too. Like, he,
oh, did it?
No, he didn't curse, so it messed me up. Like, it was like,
I don't curse when I coach.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's not weird.
Yeah. I get it. I mean, yeah.
Hey, so I ain't gonna lie. When we were setting this up the other day, I think Roy heard me say my first cuss word. He said, yeah, first off, I'm proud of you.
I was like, what? I was like, okay, all right, for sure. But like, it was just like, you know, he was a nice guy. I'm not used to playing for nice guys. Mm. Have you ever seen Reggie Morris, coach?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
You seen him, coach?
Yes.
That's not even half.
Yeah.
Not even half. I love you, coach, but yeah. He's not even half. And Big Morris is 10 times worse.
That's crazy. I've never seen him, coach.
Man.
I know he's a legend.
Man, he is. But he don't even yell, really. It's like real psychological. And like, you'd be like, huh? I think one day he sent me in the corner for like 2 hours. I kept turning the ball over. He was like, oh, you want to turn the ball
he
over?
He put you in timeout?
He put me in timeout, yeah. I was like, I swear I never turned the ball over anymore. Like, I never turned the ball over. I was like, this is demoralizing. I would just rather you just throw a ball at me or something. He sent me in the corner. I tried to turn around. He said, turn around, man. You don't want to be a part of this practice. You turn the ball over. So, but yeah.
You do that now, you're going to have
that's
child
an email,
services.
That's an email, a text.
Police up there, yeah, all that.
Yeah, but yeah.
So you got through college, though?
I didn't get through college. Got through college. I still had aspirations to play after college. And, you know, I had a chance to play in college. I mean, play after college, you know. I got with an agent. You know, I had an ample good amount of film. You know, I had a trial for the Mavericks. 2 weeks before my tryout, yeah, I got in a car accident. Yeah, so
bad car accident.
Bad car accident. I flatlined twice. Yeah.
Oh, so you died before?
Yeah, I've died before. Wow. That's why when people talk about life is hard, I'm like, life ain't hard. Yeah, it ain't that hard. Dang. You just gotta figure it out.
So what were your injuries coming out of that besides flatlining?
I broke my pelvis. I broke my pelvis. Ruptured my bladder. Tore my MCL, my PCL, ACL, meniscus, broke my forearm. They thought I broke my neck and my back.
They thought but you didn't?
No, I didn't.
That was just because you was unconscious or whatever?
Just the way I was in the car. Tore my urethra. So like I was in a wheelchair for like 3 months, 4 months. Okay. Catheter, bed rest. I think I slept on a couch like this for 7 months. I couldn't lay down in my bed. I couldn't lay down in my bed at all. So,
dang.
Yeah. At this time, like, my son's about to be born. So it was like, okay.
All at the same time.
Yeah.
I don't even have no words.
I'm dead.
What What did that do to you mentally during that time?
I was motivated. Like, I was hella motivated. Like, I didn't do, like, I think, so after I, like, shout out to Cedar Sinai, by the way, like, greatest hospital I've ever been. They really saved my life. I think they put me to a facility in Downey. It was like a rehabilitation facility, number one in the country. But I couldn't do anything weight bearing. So it's like, it's no point in him being here. Can't do anything. I couldn't stand, I couldn't hold, I couldn't do anything. So they sent me home and I'm just sitting there. Like, I'm literally like sitting, I'm sleeping like this. Like, this is why I have a problem sleeping now, because like I would stay up all night and sleep during the day. So, you know, I'm just sitting there. I think maybe like a month after, they took my catheter out. So like now I'm on a walker. You know, I stand up maybe like 4 minutes. I mean, 4 minutes, 4 months to the day of my car accident. So I stand up. My grandma at this time, she has dementia. So it's just like, she was there with me every day. It's just like me, her, and my aunt, you know, my mom too. So it was just like, I started moving around a little bit. Like, I went and got a membership at 24 Hour Fitness. And I was like, I just started doing my own rehab. Like, I was like, I can't be like this. And one day I was just like, you know, I was trying, at this time, I'm going to coach with Reggie at Redondo. And like all the kids was talking like, and like, you weren't good. I'm like, shit. Like, all right. My bad. I can't say that. My bad.
No, you good. Nah. Right. Somebody dropped the F-bomb last
week.
Oh,
nah, I ain't gonna do that one. Only at games.
Only at games.
But yeah, I just start every night going to the pool, working out in the pool, working out in the water. And one day I was just driving home, and I was riding down Prairie. I was like, man, let me just go see. Somebody said, you could do it. I think I hooped in like some like Jordan cross trainers. And like I walked in the gym, like everybody looked like, yeah. I'm in some sweats and tea and some Redondo Jordan cross trainers hooping. And I was like, I kind of like made my way back, you know, so.
So your own therapist, your own physical therapist.
I'm a self-aware dude, man. I'm trying to tell people, man. Like, you know,
my mom. Nah, man, your will and your mentality, man, to not lay down when things are bad, right?
Right, I don't believe in that. Like, life on life until you don't have no more life. You got to figure it out.
Yeah.
Somebody got to figure it out.
And you're fully recovered from everything?
I mean, yeah, I am. I don't run and jump like I used to.
Right.
Like, I play in the post now. But, you know, but, yeah.
I think we all do at this age.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
I got a cold fadeaway now.
Dope. Man. Oh, you know, I'm always big on walking away from the game how you want to.
Right.
I didn't get to. That's why I'm here today. Because I want to be attached to this game. Because I didn't get to walk away from it like I wanted to.
Right.
Is that... What is it? How does that mindset work for you?
I've coped because I still got friends that have pool dreams too, and I'm like, man, we're almost 40. What are you doing? Go get a job. I've coped with it. It bothered me because I see a lot of dudes that play, and I'm like, I just go bust his ass. Like, nah. So it's like I've coped with it, and I've got over it. You know what I'm saying? It's like I just want to get back to. Kids, you know what I'm saying? That's the biggest thing for me, like making sure the next generation understand, because the complexity of basketball is so watered down. And the kids are so much more talented than we were. But I think they lack the tenacity and mindset that we had, because it's like, you know, like I didn't work out with a trainer until I was like 15 years old.
Right.
Like, it was me and my brother in the backyard, and we just figuring it out.
Playing 21.
Yep. Like, creativity. Wasn't no cones. Cones don't move. I know that's like, I use cones too when I train too. You know, I train and I think we don't turn our kids into like robots and machines instead of like letting them be creative. Like when I coach, like I probably don't put in offense until November.
Yep.
Like I want you to be able to hoop. Like, cause eventually when you get to the playoffs, everybody know what you're doing anyway. You gotta be able to freelance. You gotta be able to go get you a bucket.
Yeah.
And if you play good enough defense, you're gonna create offense. So
that's facts, man. I think it feels like basketball is moving towards that way, or at least the people who come on the show, like that's a lot of the discussion now, is making sure these kids know how to just hoop.
Right.
And feel the game.
Right.
And yes, we have skills and like, but having that balance out with decision making and just playing, just pick up ball.
Right. So, by the way, I love watching you train, by the way, and I'm not saying because I'm on this show, but I love watching you train. I remember when I was at St. Monica, I used to just want to come in them. Like, I like to learn. I like to, you know, pick up different nuances. I think when I watched you train, the biggest thing was, like, you gave them a situation.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, I picked up on that, by the way. Give you your flowers, too, by the way.
No, I try to make it as real as possible. That's the whole thing, so they can actually do it in the game.
Right.
So, so you no pun intended, you roll into coaching from your wheelchair.
Right. That's why I like you. I would have said that joke, too.
So so you start your coaching career, like you want to give back. Why are you so passionate about giving back and raising up this next generation?
Because I mean, at the end of the day, my coach did it for me.
There you go.
My coach is that's my dog, for real. Like, man, I love him to death. He did it for me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If it ain't him, it ain't on me. Yeah. If I'm gonna be honest, if it ain't no him, none of this basketball looks like what it is. Like, he's probably one that like really set the trend like of this new age of basketball, because, you know what I'm saying, he one of the dudes in California that had a dude go to the NBA. Yeah. Shout out D. Wright.
Yeah.
Like, that's a big thing. Like, so this how we did things. Like, I learned, like, people don't understand, like, a lot of things that I do, like with events and stuff like that, like, I'm not reinventing the wheel.
Got that from Reg.
Yeah, I just put a little pizzazz on it. He don't like all the little bells and whistles and stuff. I'm a little different. So, but, you know, I just take the blueprint. You know what I'm saying? He gave me the blueprint, and I just take it and put my twist on it, my flavor on it.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so with your coaching journey, give me the 2-minute drill, if you can, since coaching at Luzinger is where you started?
No, I started coaching at Redondo.
Redondo, okay, so he's at Redondo. Mm-hmm. So Redondo until now, the 2-minute drill of coaching. Go.
Ooh, man. just trying to teach young kids and make sure that they understand that what we're doing is feasible for them through life. That's it, you know what I'm saying? From Redondo to Culver City to St. Monica to Westchester now. I still check on my players. Like, I called one of my players while I was in the car. Like, why you ain't call me? Like, why you ain't call me? I call all my players. Like, you know, if you do a checkup on me, don't ask parents about me, ask my players.
Yeah.
That's what I tell them. Like, I got like, right now I'm probably at 150 players. I've been coaching for 12 years. I'm probably one of the youngest coaches doing it right now. So, and I, at a point in time, I was the youngest coach in California. Wow. So, like, head coach. So, like, don't ask no parent about me, because they're going to be biased on how I treat their baby. Ask their baby about me. And ask why their baby still pick up my phone calls or pick up to come see me, no matter what school I'm at.
Right.
Yeah.
No, that's what it's about, man. I wish parents could understand that.
Yeah.
That it's not about... It is about what they do on the court, but it's not. It's more about that relationship that's created and that mentorship, everything we kind of been talking about, and how one person can make the biggest difference and change the trajectory of your life.
Sure, for sure. I be telling my kids, I say, I know you ain't gonna see me for a year and a half. You ain't gonna call me for 2 years, because I was on you. I was on you for 4. But you gonna come see me, you gonna call me.
Yeah.
I know you are.
Yep.
I ain't do no wrong by you. All I did was tell you the truth. I'm the truth. no pun intended. I'm the truth. I'm gonna tell you exactly what you don't want to hear.
Yeah.
And I mean it. And I'm gonna tell you when you do good. I'm your biggest cheerleader. I'm the one running down the sideline. It's pictures of me, Peach Jam, almost doing cartwheels because of something my kids done did. And then I'm also the one that's going to be screaming to the top of my lungs with spit flying out my mouth and a towel waving. Like, regardless, I'm going to tell you, right is right and wrong is wrong, no matter what, no matter who you are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Through your head coaching journey, so your first head coaching job was at Culver City?
Yes, sir.
So Culver City, St. Monica, and now you're associate at Westchester. Through your head coaching journey, what was the first thing you do as a coach to set the tone?
Get in there, yell at everybody, start running everybody. No, I'm just saying.
That's what people think, probably.
that's really what people think. That's really probably what everybody, he just getting yelling at everybody. Just developing a culture. You know, my first Culver City team wasn't the most talented. I think I was the tallest person on my Culver City team. But it was just, you know, like, this is what we look like. So what do we do and how can we be the best us? Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, I just got off the phone with my best player today. That was my first, like, college player, first team all player. You know, Ryan Blackman, he averaged 35 points at 5'9.5". And everybody on the team knew what it was. Give him the ball, move out the way, and if he passes you the ball, just shoot it. Don't do nothing else. Just shoot it. And that was and they bought into it. Mm. And they won games, and they, you know, Russell Payne, you like to say that I wasn't down 30 in that game. I was down 30 and beat you in double overtime. But, you know, Russell helped. Russell knows about Ryan Blackman. You know, he was the catalyst, kind of like setting the tone for what Coach Walker is now. Like, you may look better. You may look better than us. You may look bigger than us. You may think you're faster than us. But you're going to have to fight. You're going to have to fight.
For sure, man. For sure. Then moving over to St. Monica, man, turned the school around when it came to basketball.
Don't say that out loud.
Why not? I was there.
Don't say that out loud.
We know what it was.
I'd rather not talk about that.
Okay. No, I'm just from a coaching perspective, the kids that you were coaching then, let's just, the you know, every step you go through, you get better. What did you get better at once you got the opportunity at St. Monica to be the head coach?
Organization. Understanding that you run a small business. Mm. You know, I think my communication with parents was a little bit better. Just, you know, being a little bit more dialed in, you know, understanding, being a lot more dialed in, actually. I was older. I was in my fifth year when I got to St. Monica, so as a head coach. So it was just like, okay, I know what I'm doing. Now I know what I'm doing, but I know how this goes, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, we was gaining a lot of traction, you know, getting the right type of players. You know, when you have a public school kid, it looks a lot different than a private school kid, just with grades, you know, how they think, you know, their motivation and how they look as people. Like, you know, public school, you might have a 6-foot kid. Private school, you might have a 6'6" kid, you know. How can you transition from coaching this kid to this kid? Mm-hmm. I think that was big. And coaching international kids.
Right.
Like, I had a ton. Like, my best player for 2 years was an international kid from Russia. So that was my biggest thing.
Oh, yeah. Got a lot of experience out of it. So.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. And now you're over at Westchester. Got one of the top 2026 players over there with you.
Yeah.
You know, what are you looking forward to? This is your second year with them?
Second year.
So what are you looking forward to in this second year?
The resurgence of Westchester basketball. Like, I grew up in the era of, like, Hassan Adams, Brandon Heath, Bobby Brown. Yeah. Like, those are my big bros. So definitely, you know, Darius Miles and Quentin Richardson coming to the game. I grew up in that. You know what I'm saying? You wanted to go to Westchester. That's all I want to do. I want to bring that back. I think I'm the face of that, and I know I can do that because, you know, I understand the allure of Westchester basketball. Westchester basketball is Westchester basketball throughout the world, no matter if it's up or down. Mm. It's a brand.
Yeah.
You know, people don't like, it is what high school basketball is today. Traveling, Nike, everything, shoes, you know, interviews, all of it. Yeah. Showcase games, that's what Westchester basketball is. So, you know, playing on TV.
Got TV games this year?
Todd always trying to get the exclusive.
I'll ask off camera. Yeah. Okay. So we're going to see it on TV probably. So dope. Now let's switch over to the EYBL side, man. Highest level of basketball to be played in the high school side in the U.S. for sure. I've seen Peace Jam. It's nothing like it.
I got a high winning percentage out there too.
You like that. You like that.
I ain't like that, but I got a high winning percentage. Like, I ain't gonna lie. I'm gonna give myself my flowers on that. That's hard.
Yes. Yeah. No, that's a different level of basketball. What do you take a different approach?
You got to. You have to. Because the amount of time, the window of time you don't have, you know, how I would be with my high school team, which I'm with 9.5 months out of the year, is not the same as I'm here with these kids 2.5 months out of the year. Like you're dealing with the top players, so them F-bombs can be like, they got to go to dams. And like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so, you know, it's not that you're easier, but you're more understanding. Then you understand, like, it's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of pressure on me. Like, I'm coaching against some of the best coaches in the country, too. Like, right along with me. So, it's just making them blend and be cohesive in that amount of time. That's my biggest thing.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, you're throwing this team together and you got 2 weeks of practice. Maybe. That means 4 practices before you got to go out there and go compete. Man. What is the best performance you've seen from one of your players in the EYBL?
Ooh. Giovanni Ruff against New York Rens when he hit the game winner. Giovanni Ruff hit the Tunde. Tunde had a 50 game in Orlando against Darian Peterson. I don't get enough credit. Every why not kid that's like that, I've had. Just saying. But yeah.
The best performance against you, who gave you buckets and that you knew was like, oh, he liked that?
Oh. Cameron Boozer.
Who that?
Cameron Boozer.
Oh. Yeah.
Cameron Boozer. Man, them Boozers was like that. They like
was that when you were 15, you coached?
Both years. 15 and 16. I went back to back to play them to get to the championship. If it's no Boozers, I got 2 EYBL championships. But, you know, they good. That whole team is just good.
Yeah.
I think 2 of their players went 17 for 17 that 1 year. We lost to them by 11. But, yeah, like, they good.
Dang.
They're the best team in high school basketball, regardless.
And then moving, so you got opportunity to coach at the Elite 100 camp.
Right.
What's special about that camp and what is your experience?
Shout out to Corey Alexander. He would be mad because he's going to see this. So shout out to my big homie, Corey Alexander, number one player out of Virginia, top point guard. I got to give him all his accolades. I love CA. You know, my biggest thing is you understand that it's different mindsets and intellects of basketball. I think going to those camps these last 2 years, like, I've learned a bevy of things that I wouldn't, like, even know. And I, you know, just so happened Corey takes a liking to me and, you know, he believes in me. So, you know, I'm able to learn from some of the greatest coaches that ever played. Coach Rob, Coach Simeon, you know, I talk to Coach Rob all the time. You know, he's grown to be a friend and a mentor. You know, I lean on him when I need to call him about something. Elite 100 is it. And then you get to see, like, you get to see the pecking order. You get to see the real pecking order, like, who gonna, like, bow down to who.
Yeah.
You see it, too. Like, and I'll be like, it'd be funny. I'll be laughing. I'm like, oh, he like that.
Yeah.
Or, no, he not like that.
I went to the Team USA workout this year. I was like, it's crazy. The kids who were, got all the mixtapes and, but then, who's that kid? Because he's the one who's playing.
Yeah.
Like, that's why you see the Team USA roster. You know most of them, but some of these kids you don't know.
For real.
Why.
For real.
Yeah. And then just if someone is looking to be a coach at the level that you coach, getting into the EYBL, being able to coach at the Elite 100 and on a national level high school team, what's the best advice you can give them?
Don't skip any steps. Don't try to run before you walk. Don't try to walk before you crawl. Everybody get in this, who everybody gets into this coaching thing trying to be the top dog. Like, I pay my dues. Like, from cleaning out equipment closets, staying at Redondo till 1 a.m. with Reg, you know what I'm saying, inventory, stuff like that. Don't skip no steps. Don't look over no bag and say you too good to carry no bag. Just have the utmost humility. Mm. Like, nobody can say I'm not a hard worker. Like, I work, and don't skip any steps. If you bless and honor for someone to believe in you to be a head coach, great. But do the same thing you asking your staff to do. My staff can always say that, like, I'm gonna be in there sweeping the floor with you. I'm be in there doing room checks with you.
Yeah,
that's a big thing. Don't skip any steps.
Love that. That's great advice. LA basketball.
The greatest basketball there is.
All right. Tell me your experience, like just all the connections and opportunities and what it's like growing up in LA and being just connected to all these little pieces, right? To, you know, growing up watching all the high school players you did, being in high school at Russell Westbrook to now being around all the retired cats that are out here, and,
right,
and to the next generation of LA dudes who are going to be pros.
Right. Granted, I am from the greatest basketball city in the world.
Gardena?
No.
Oh, you said Gardena Rec when you was young.
Inglewood, of course.
I know. Darby Park. I'm messing with you.
it's a blessing. It's truly a blessing. I've gained a lot of relationships. You know, some people that I didn't like, I've grown to like love them. Like, they're from my family. Like my longtime assistant Lonnie Bennett, who's at St. Anthony's now. Like, Lonnie hated each other, but it's like one of my best friends now. Like, he picks my daughter up from school. Like, I pick his son up from school. Like, his son runs up to me, Uncle Roy. My daughter and my kids run up to him, Uncle Lonnie. So, you know, just building relationships. It's a lot of lost relationships in it too, but just building great bonds. You know what I'm saying? I like where LA basketball is right now, because
it's a great place.
We look like us right now. We look like us for real.
Yeah. No, I was on the podcast yesterday and he asked me to rank the top 2026 kids, top five, right? Mm-hmm. And it was like, dang, that's a crazy. Because they all top 10 in the country.
Right.
Those top five are top 10 in the country.
And they're here.
And they're right here.
They're right here.
Playing each other in games. And it's about to be real this season, man.
It's about to be real.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
I got some phase lined up.
Yeah.
We got some big games.
Your event, the Tip-Off Classic.
The West Side Tip-Off Classic.
The West Side Tip-Off Classic. Yeah.
Not to be confused with. I had to do that with you. I had to do that one. Yeah.
Not to be confused.
Yeah.
This is the West Side Tip-Off Classic, okay? What can we look forward to in that event?
Smoke. A lot of smoke. I don't believe in people, oh, I need a cupcake. Nah, no. No. Duke and Kansas, they come out the first week playing each other.
Yeah, facts.
You coaches want to be... You guys want to be Coach K and John Shire? Let's see you do it. Like, I don't, like, just, if you look at my coaching career, if you go through, like, our strength of schedule from my first year at Coach City, I'm probably in the top three.
Yeah. Playing everybody.
Everybody. I took Sierra Kane when nobody wanted to take Sierra Kane. Like, I'll take anybody. I don't care. It's basketball. Nobody died from playing basketball. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like, what you going to do? Like, you telling yourself that you're going to lose. I don't believe I'm going to lose.
Right.
Now, if I get in there and I lose, I lose. I'm man enough to say that. But I also know that I'm going to give my utmost so I can be able to look at myself in the mirror. You scared? You scared. I mean, I ain't grow up scared. Grew up a little wrong, but not scared.
It's, listen, man, out of all the things that you've been through in your life, the traumas, the heartaches, the difficulties, the navigating life, what has been the thing that's kept you?
My faith in God. My faith in God, for real. My faith in God. Yeah, for real, for real, for real. Yeah, like just knowing, like, I always tell people I'm anointed. Like, I know I'm anointed. Like, and I know a big thing, God always say, why not you? People are like, why me? No, why not you? Who are you above? You're not above reproach for you to go through heartache, tribulations. Part of your testimony. Live in your testimony. Yeah. That's it. That's all. Don't be scared of it. You're going to come out unscathed. I like the people think of me as like, it's that dark alley in there. Who over there? I'm going to go with him. We're going to get through. I promise you we're going to get through. Me and you go through the dark, I swear you're going to get home. And I mean that. Like, yeah. That's just how I am. That's how I live my life. That's how I raise my son. That's how I raise my daughters. Don't be scared of nothing. You'll figure it out.
No, I love that. And I see that in you, man. Your journey and story is something that I don't know if you are. You said you don't really get all emotional and stuff, but you have to be comfortable sharing because of where you're headed and the things you've been through and just got through, and you're still here smiling. Like, anywhere you go, besides when you coaching, you a little scary. But outside of that, dog, you smiling, you a people person, like you uplifting, you really caring, and all that. Like, that is, like, you need to write a book.
I told you I should write a book. I told you.
No, you need to write a book because there's a legacy you're leaving to your kids about just perseverance overcoming and being your own therapist. I think that's so important, man, being your own therapist. Like, yes, we need therapy. Mental health is real, 100%.
For sure.
But also, our generation had to figure things out ourselves. Yeah. We had to figure out how to cope with loss or whatever is happening traumatic in our young life. Like, there's things my mama don't know I went through, and I just had to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm doing okay.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I think I'm a good husband, I'm a good father, I'm a good mentor. Same, right?
So
there's something to allowing yourself or having the tools to know how to pull yourself out of something.
And I think my biggest thing is, like, I don't see myself giving up. I don't believe in that. I told my sons that. My problem is if you give up and you don't do it again. Mm-hmm. I don't care about how many times you fail at it, because you're really not failing. You're just trying to do it again. You're going to get it right. Like, I'm going to do it. If that puzzle ain't right, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to get it right.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's something, like, that's always kept me with coaching. Like, I'm going to get it right. I'm going to get something booming. Like, I think I know kind of the recipe to get something booming, so I'm going to make sure I'm getting something booming for sure.
All right, you cuss at kids a lot when you coach.
Do I? Not no more.
He cusses at kids a lot when he coaches. and it's okay, right? That is your style. Why, right? Like, I need to know why. I need parents to hear why that's okay for you to cuss at 10-year-olds.
I don't cuss at 10-year-olds. I don't cuss at 10-year-olds. Don't say that, Todd. I don't cuss at 10-year-olds.
Roy.
I cuss at 12-year-olds. 10-year-olds I'm impatient with.
Dog, your son was in the gym and you was cussing at him.
That's my son.
He was 10.
That's my son. He different.
No, he was in there with his friends. And you was cussing at all of them, and it's okay, though. Yeah, that's when I say, I was like, yo, how old is your son? This is when. He's 10. I was like, bet. I'm taking my son here when he's 10.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he can handle it. I saw your son handle it.
Yeah.
I got cussed at growing up. My mom My mom is, she's saved by Jesus, but she's a pirate.
Yeah.
See, like, if I call her right now, I bet you I'll pick up the phone and she's yelling at somebody cussing. That's what she do.
Right.
It built toughness.
Mm-hmm.
People can say the craziest things to me, and I was just like, cool. Like, sure. It means nothing. So I like that callus that's built up. I coach at a Christian school. They don't allow cussing.
Yeah.
And so it was tough. Mm-hmm. Like, the years when I was on the sidelines and with some soft kids, it was tough.
Right,
but
right,
I figured it out, and I figured out how to encourage without it.
Right.
Do I miss it sometimes?
For sure.
And do I sometimes get close to a kid and let them know? Yes, I do. Yo, Mike Price, boy.
Man, he'll make you curse. Mike, I love you.
Love you, Mike. But if you don't cuss at him, he won't respond.
Yeah,
he's the opposite. You say something nice to him.
Tyler Rollison. Tyler Rollison. Oh, man. Tyler would be moping. I'm like, man, if you don't fuck me. I was just taking like, Rich, like when he was playing with us, Rich was like, your boy tripping. That's my kid. I love Tyler, by the way. Shout out to him in Nevada, too. He's doing a great job, too.
Yeah, absolutely. But why, man? Why? What's the goal in being able to speak freely to kids while coaching?
Because I like cussing. like, my granny was a pirate, too.
Okay.
My mom's a pirate. My mom's a pirate. Oh, my God. Why do I cuss at kids? Why I cuss at kids? Because, again, life is yelling. Hmm. Life is yelling. And I try to tell people that, like, when that bill come through, life is yelling at you. Your car break down, life is yelling at you. Mm. Your kids can't handle just yelling, they ain't gonna be able to pay them bills. They're not gonna be able to survive that. But like, when I'm cussing, I wanna win. Like, I like winning.
Yeah.
I like winning, and I like my people to win. I want my people to win. I want you to win more than I wanna win. You know what I'm saying? That's just how I am. Like, I want you to get whatever you wanna get. So if you sit here and say, I want to be this, this, and this, I'm going to exhaust all my energy and resources to help you get that. And when you don't get that, motherfucker, you said you want this. Like, let's get it. Like, let's get it. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe cussing speaks to the soul. There's a reason that it makes people uncomfortable.
Like, I don't do, like...
No, he don't cuss people out.
I don't do the derogatory in what he cusses. And the
No, you don't. He's not derogatory. He just uses them as adjectives, not nouns. He just cusses adjectives, not nouns. Yeah. Sometimes verbs. I don't know how you do that, but he does. And I think that's why there's a discomfort when people cuss, right?
Yeah.
Because you're trying to get to their soul.
Right.
It's an authoritative way almost of getting your attention and letting you know I'm so passionate and serious about you doing what I'm telling you to do.
For sure.
Like, and so there's something to that. Now, do you have to do that to coach? No, you don't.
No.
I'm just saying this as a preference. I don't do it and I don't allow it in the spaces I'm in.
Okay. I respect that.
But I know it's going to happen when they go to high school. I'm in the middle school space.
For sure, for sure.
I know it's going to happen when
they
go to high school.
Way better than my middle school coaching. My middle school coaches, whoa.
Man.
Lord.
Man, my word. You know what? I'm trying to think. I got to ask them. I don't remember if they cussed, but I knew I was in high school for sure. College.
Moon Jones.
I was in Medford like crazy in college. So, yeah, you got the piece.
Yeah, I got the piece, man. Mess me up.
God was trying to show you the other side of this, man.
Yeah, right on. I think I've gotten better. You know, my niece was like, Uncle Roy, you didn't get better. I'm like, no, I got better. Like, I give you the things that used to make me cuss right away, I give you.
You have a little more patience.
Yeah, I
got a
little more patience. Like,
well, so the, your cussing didn't change, this is when you did it, did it?
Yeah, so you know, it ain't. Now it's like, dude, it usually is a warning. Like, do you want that? You want the nice me or you want the crazy me? Just do your job. Yeah, do your job. Because I'm getting older. You know, as you get older, you get a little softer. You do.
I'll be on coach like you soft. My daughter made me softer.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
My son's making me crazy again.
How's your son?
He's only 3.
Oh yeah, you want a tough time. He want to wrestle.
He want to wake up in the middle of the night and wrestle. Like. Dog, it's 3 a.m. Go to sleep. Yeah. God bless. I love my son. Yeah. That's my dude. But yeah, man. Man, thank you, man,
for being
vulnerable in this place, man, and letting people know your story, letting people know where you come from. And don't stop. Like, you got it. And so here, I'm going to tell you how to write a book. And this is the good information for everybody. Transcribe it.
For sure.
Talking to your phone, just like you was talking to me. And break it up a couple ways, you know, time periods, mm-hmm. and or by what people didn't. Is Roy the only thing people called you? people have called you other names.
Yeah, for sure.
And so break your book up by the names that you were called.
Oh.
In different parts of your life.
For sure.
So my grandma wrote her book before she passed. And so the first one was her given name by her parents. And then she changed it to what she was called, her nickname as a teenager. And then mom, when she was called mom. And then we called her Letha as our grandma. And so she had a name.
That's hard.
And then she got remarried, so her name, last name changed. And so every chapter in her book is by the name that she was called.
Oh, that's hard. That's tough.
Yeah,
so there you go. That book.
Huh?
You gotta give me that book so I can read that.
Yeah, we're trying to get it published. So she wrote it and then she passed. Like, I don't even know if she finished it. We could probably finish it for her. But yeah.
I know.
Yeah, man. My brother, I appreciate that, man. We're gonna hop into these other segments before I start crying. Yeah. Talk about grandmas and stuff. Top my Rushmore, top four. So, you know, I'm switching up. We talked about something earlier, but I'm switching it up because I'm like that. Top four LA hoopers of all time. Putting you on the spot.
Ooh. Wow. Top four LA hoopers of all time.
All time.
Baron Davis.
BD.
Baron Davis. Gotta say Big John Williams from Crenshaw. Hassan Adams.
Hassan was nice with it.
I'm gonna have to go with the home team. James Gumby Bryant. Nobody know about him. LA people know about him.
James Gumby Bryant.
James Gumby.
And he went to where?
Westchester.
He went to Westchester.
Yeah.
What years is this?
James Gumby is, what, 94, 95? Okay. Like, yeah. Only dude I ever seen turn down an NBA contract. That's like a legend, like a true legend.
Why did? Why?
He was at the park in Oscar Robertson. Who's the GM for Elgin Baylor? Elgin Baylor came and offered Gumby a contract. He turned it down. I can't say why he turned it down, but he turned it down. That's a real thing. I was there. Like, it was at Rogers Park.
That's wild. I love that. Okay. My four are different. I represent the light-skinned community, so okay. Jordan Farmar is on there for me.
Okay. Shout out for the farm.
He the valley, but LA.
Shout out Jay Farm.
That is so you were talking about them in high school as an LA hooper. Are you talking about like full career as a person from LA and still hooping?
LA high school.
LA high. Okay, cool.
Yeah, LA high school.
Farmar still there. Drew Holiday. Mm-hmm. I'm in the valley with it because I'm more of a valley person. So I'll just stay in the valley. How about that?
Okay.
I don't really know LA people too much. And then Larry Drew.
Okay.
Probably be on there. We used to battle. He used to come up to the gym just so I could guard him because he was cooking people in high school. I probably got to be Nick Young. Nick ain't really Valley, man.
He LA.
Is he?
Nick LA. All right,
bet. Gilbert Arenas.
That's cool.
In high school.
Nah, my brother played against Gilbert in high school. Gilbert's the only dude I'd be go down the sideline to ask people what they want. Like, what y'all want to see? It's true.
What?
Yeah. My brother played North Hollywood against Gilbert. I remember
that's
this.
That's crazy.
Vividly. He'd come down, like, what y'all want to see? In and out windmill. Gilbert liked that. Gilbert liked that in high school.
Crazy. Now it's time for the segment Fix the Net. A misconception about Roy Walker Jr. that you need to make straight.
Ain't no misconception.
So let us know. Don't fix it yet. You gotta let us know. Fix it, and then you fix the net.
I am not crazy. Now can I fix
that? You gotta say why? You can't just say it. That makes you sound real crazy without no reason why.
I'm not crazy. I'm just passionate. You know, it's like I like winning. I like helping young people, you know what I'm saying, conquer their fears and seek their dreams. Yeah, not crazy.
No, I agree. I don't think you would be at the level of basketball you're at if it was different.
Yeah. As,
this is cancel culture. You would have been canceled if you really were crazy.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Go ahead, brother. And one.
Yeah.
All right, bet. This is where we flip the script. You're the interviewer now. Two questions for me. Could be about anything in the world.
What about LA basketball is different to you than any other basketball in the nation?
The level of talent and that any given day, some kid somewhere just might be like that. Like, I feel like in other places, so I lived in Kansas.
Right.
I lived in Kansas, and you just knew who the dudes were.
Right.
And that was it. Mm-hmm. But out here, you see kids just emerge. Ben Schultzberg just emerged out of nowhere.
Right.
Because he's just in the gym working.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you see kids just develop, man. And because of the level of competition, their mindset is, yo, I got to be better than this dude. And, like, it just, we're the only place where Kihei Clark doesn't get offered by a Southern California school, but ends up going to Virginia.
Yeah, Kihei, you like that.
That's dumb. Yeah, you know like what I mean? That. Like we have so much talent and so many kids that our own schools here, they are now. Shouts out, CSUN is getting LA kids now.
Right.
They weren't even offering our own kids because they didn't look good against the top level national talent that's out here in Southern California. Right. So I love that, man. And it's just, every game's a game.
Right.
There's barely any games that's weak. I just love the history, the legacy. Like, everybody's connected.
Somehow, some way.
Yeah, everybody's connected.
So. Somehow, some way.
Yep.
I gotta go. How many questions I got left?
You got one more, but if you got more, keep going.
I got one more. When we playing one? No.
Yo.
Nah, I do not want to do that. I seen you play
you
one.
See, you see, when I cracked the ankle or something.
Nah. What's the biggest thing about being a mentor to young people that keeps you going? Because I know sometimes it makes you like, I know. So what makes you keep going?
I don't want what happened to me to happen to them. Right. Misinformation, no guidance, and wasted dreams.
Right.
Like working, like you said, you work so hard and then nothing.
Right.
You know, you don't get the opportunity that you think you deserve or that you should deserve. And so just making sure they don't feel what I felt.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I had nobody to tell me the right thing to do. And so it's like, man, you have to know. That's why I tell the truth. That's why I'm as real as I am. That's why I don't care about what other coaches and people think. Like, yo, this is how I feel because it's the truth.
Right.
So I do have one more question for you.
What's up?
What is something that you're really, really good at that you're not currently doing that you should be doing? Like a hidden talent that we don't know that Roy could do that you need to be doing more of, besides speaking and writing books.
Rapping. I really could rap. Like, I really got bars.
Hey.
And don't ask me to freestyle. No.
I'm not going to ask you to freestyle. I would not put you on the spot like that, but I will ask for a mixtape.
No, for
a
sure.
A postseason mixtape.
Yeah, for sure.
Hop on something. Yeah, that's sure. Dope, man. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, dope, man.
Really, like, really good.
No, I hear it. Now, it makes sense, because... Yeah. There's a, man, you got struggle in your voice, man. You know when black people sing in church, there's some struggle. You got some struggle in your voice from what you've been through. I'm sure you could, you know.
Yeah.
Poetically spit it on some verses, so.
Yeah, some isms.
Yep. No. Karina, anything? Questions, comments, concerns? No? That's two shows in a row. You all right?
Yeah.
You usually have
questions. She normally supposed to ask questions or something?
She usually has some really good insight.
Ask me a question.
No? Yeah, now you got to ask him a question. See, you did have a question.
See, she had a question.
I didn't have a question. I had notes. So yeah, I didn't trigger a question.
Yeah, it won't.
So you made, I think, my favorite quote in your interview. You said, life is always yelling at you.
Right.
Like, once you become an adult, and I think that's the biggest thing, even outside of basketball, we're not taught in high school what adult life is. We're not taught throughout life, unless... you come from a family of struggle. Like, I'm first generation.
Right.
Latina. So I learned, like, nah, life isn't easy. Like, you're blessed to be in America. You're blessed to grow up here.
Blah, right. Blah.
But when you're saying life is yelling at you, what advice would you give to high schoolers that don't have a coach yelling at them to learn about, like, in a way, like, seek the yelling so you're prepared?
That's actually a great question, because honestly, I don't think necessarily high school kids are always honest with themselves. You know, like they have to go through some type of, not say trauma, but some type of obstacles to understand, like, what am I looking for? Like, what type of guidance am I looking for in oneself as well? Like, I think we have to have guidance in oneself as well. So just stay true to who you are. Find something you're passionate about, something that you care about, that you don't want to see messed up. I'm saying, you don't want to see messed up, like you want, like, that's my baby. So I'm going to treat it like such, and I'm going to do every little thing to you know, water this flower so it grows the way it's supposed to grow. And I think that's how you, if you don't have somebody yelling at you, you learn, since you can't really have force somebody to yell at you, you learn some type of accountability. You know what I'm saying? So you not yelling at yourself, but you holding yourself to a standard.
So. Once again, man. Appreciate you, my brother.
Always, my boy.
You got 24-second shot clock, where they can find you on social media, and any message that you have.
The Real Coach Walk is my IG. Just stay true to yourself. Like, just stay true to yourself. Don't really care about what people say about you. Care about you, how you are perceived, but don't care about what people say about you, because, you know, the people that really love you and that really trust you and really care for you, they're always going to speak the true narrative about you. So that's what it is. Shout out to Why Not, too. The number one Nike EYBL program on the West Coast. Thank you.
You're welcome. It's the first time I throw a West Side on the show, but I had to because he said it. It is what it is. That's all we have for you today, folks. We'll see you next time. Peace.